I am my ideal self now. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. I am my ideal self. Well, now, this is Sunday morning, and we're on the campus of the University of Healing, and everybody has just concluded a most exciting episode. We had our breakfast, and while Ellen was making breakfast, she burned the bacon, and it caused all the smoke alarms in the monastery to go off, and they all had to be shut off. And Ellen had to check on Ingeborg's oxygen to see if perhaps it was making noises, and in the process, she turned it off and brought out a tank for Ingeborg. And then Rex found a kangaroo mouse had just hopped underneath our dishwasher, our clothes washer. And he was there trying to tell it, come on out and play, come on, I won't hurt you, I'll just carry you around. Well, Rex goes outside, he digs in the dirt, and he finds mice, and he says, wow, look what I have, a treasure. And he comes to the house and he brings it in, and he wants to give it to us. And so we say, no, Rex, take it out in the backyard and let it go out there. So he plays with it out there until the mouse runs through the fence, and then he comes in looking for another one. And this goes on all morning. We have the two cats coming in and out. We have little Love getting his insulin shots and getting all the things that make his life fun. But the most fun for little Love on his insulin shots is having the peanut butter afterwards. He really doesn't need the insulin shots, but we think he does, so we give it to him, and then he puts up with it, but he just loves sitting there licking on that peanut butter spoon. And Rex sits by him and says, now leave a little bit for me at least, you know. And so Anita leaves a little bit on the spoon for Rex. And then Anita says, here, Herbert, you like it? And I think to myself, you're offering me their peanut butter spoon that they've been licking on. Thank you very much. That's very, very lovely of you. And no, no, it's for Rex. I said, oh, okay. So it's for Rex. And Rex is just having such a wonderful time because he's just doing all the things that a dog does. Now, I am my ideal self now. Rex created us in his family. And he created us bringing this 104-acre monastery grounds to him. He created us having these six houses here at the monastery for him to go and play in whenever he wants. He goes to the door and barks and somebody lets him in. He goes to the doggy doors. Many of them have cat doors on. They're too small for him to get in out. But he lives in his ideal world right now. Now, you got to admit that's true. He's just having a ball. So last night, Anita was in her suite, and she had their garden door open, looking out on her swinging swing, and she went out to play her ukulele, and the cats and the dogs, and they all followed her out there, and she sits there strumming away, singing to herself, having a great old time. Then she comes in the house, and a kangaroo mouse had come in. And so she chased the kangaroo mouse here, there, and yon, under the beds and over the beds and in the closet and around the dressers and so on. And finally, she caught the kangaroo mouse. And she said to the kangaroo mouse, now look, we bought these 104 acres so you could have a place to play. And no one will disturb you on these 104 acres. The dogs might bring you in, the cats might bring you in, but nobody's going to hurt you because you go back out and play. Now, you go out and play. And so the kangaroo mouse says, well, don't get huffy about it. I mean, what the heck, I was here before you were here. You Johnny come lately is on here. You didn't build on this property till 1985 or 87, something like that. And I've been here a lifetime. And Anita, in her cool, intelligent way, knowing all as she is, universal knowledge, she says, I happen to know the lifespan of a mouse, and you were not here. And the mouse says, oh, but you don't realize, but my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was here. And before them, they were here too. In fact, before that, we had this whole place to ourselves. And you guys weren't even around here. You're Johnny-come-latelys, and you think that we are. So I think it'd be a good idea if you start living in according to our style of life, not your style. And Anita says, well, thank you for telling me. I live my ideal life right now. Well, what's your ideal life right now? The kangaroo mouse says to Anita. And Anita speaks perfect kangaroo mouse because Anita is coming from New Zealand from many of her years of playing there and from wherever you've been to Switzerland and to America. She's a universal student and a universal person. And she knows all these languages. And so she's talking to this wonderful mouse. And while she's talking to it, a titmouse comes along. And then a pack rat comes along. And she says to the kangaroo mouse, look, kangaroo mouse, I'm getting used to you, but now do you have to bring all your friends in too? And the kangaroo mouse says, well, that's my world. I am living in my ideal world now. And Anita says, well, let me put it this way. I am living in my ideal world too. And my ideal world is having you outside because you didn't live in the house for your grandparents. So you lived outside. Now you go and live outside in your ideal world and I'll live inside in my ideal world here, which does not include any little creatures coming around to carry on a conversation with me and make me mind my P's and Q's. Now, I don't think that's too nice. And the kangaroo mouse says, well, Anita, I have never been told off in such a beautiful fashion before. And you know, Anita, you're right. You're right. This is your house. This is your home. And Anita, you have a perfect right to see your home free of anything that is not your choice to be here. Because that's your ideal world. And you have your ideal world by you seeing it ideal. You seeing us outside having fun and you inside having fun. And not the twain shall meet. So that's your choice. Now, you're not against us. I know that, Anita. You're too loving. You're too wonderful to be against us. But you're just telling me, well, I have my place and you have your place. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, Anita, that's right. But Anita, you almost watched a movie last night. And in that movie, the little mouse said, in that movie, it was Undersea Adventures. It was film taken under the ocean of big sharks and manta rays and things like that, catching food. And that really isn't my thing. Me catching food, that's one thing. But somebody else catching food, that's another thing. I'm not interested in that. That's not in my world. I am not the food for somebody else to catch. Mm-hmm. And Anita says, oh, you're not the food for somebody else to catch. Okay, mouse, then you are a mouse that doesn't belong in the house. Because in the house, I catch the mice and I put them out. I don't kill you and beat you up. You find a snake in the house, I put him outside. I find a mouse in the house, I put him outside. I put a dog outside if he doesn't belong inside. If he wants to go potty, I say, hey, puppy, outside, outside, outside. And I train him. Now, I could train you mice to do that outside, too. But I don't want you inside. You're not my pet. I am living in my ideal world now. By living in my ideal world, it's my world of my thought, my world of my ideals, my world of who and what I think I am. That's what it all matters. Now, it doesn't matter. Ellen lives in the embassy. That's another beautiful building here on campus. And Ellen thinks, okay, I have, Ellen, what are the names of your cats?
Sweetie and Mino.
Sweetie and Mino. And then Ellen has another person living down there.
Little Love.
Little Love, a mini pin. Now, the four of them live in the quiet dignity of her monastery there. And they love it. But her cats don't understand the rules of the house because Ellen hasn't taught them. Now, all Ellen has to do is sit down and say, Sweetie and Mino and Little Love, because Little Love does it too. Don't bring your dirty shoes into the house. Before you come in the house, shake off your dust and dirt from outside, lick off your feet and so on. And you don't bring your friends in. You don't bring your lizards in here. You don't bring your mice in here. You don't bring anything in here. You leave them outside. Those are outside toys that you play with, because Ellen says she lives in her ideal world. Now, do you think Ellen ever sat down consciously, specifically, with her children, with her pets, and said, these things belong outside and these things belong? No. She just chased them. Take that mouse out of here. Take that lizard out. And all frustrated and flustered. But then Ellen settles down and she says, you know, I live in my ideal world. And in my ideal world, there are no mice in the house. Do you object to mice being outdoors, Ellen?
No.
Thank you very much. The microphone here can't see your shaking head. Now, do you like snakes inside?
No, thank you.
Do you like them outside? No, you've got to allow them to have their space. Off the campus.
Off the campus, yes.
Now, you can say that.
The campus, yes.
Do you own the campus? Yes. Can you say to the snakes and the mice and the various things that you don't want, off the campus?
Yes, please.
Now, what did Rex bring in the other morning? Rex brought to Anita a tiny bunny, no bigger than your fist all crunched up. And Anita says, right?
Right.
And Anita says, what is this? And Rex laid it in her hand, perfect. And the little guy was frightened at first, and then Anita petted him, and he calmed down. And the little guy says, I want my mommy! And he was squealing, and Anita understands the rabbit talk. She understands kangaroo talk and so forth. And she understands those things, because that's part of her world. And so she said to the little fellow, now you just know I'm going to take you back to your mommy. But I got to find your mommy, because you're a long way from home. Your mommy's up on the hill over here. So Anita took the baby out and watched where the other rabbits were. And when she saw a bunch of rabbits in an area, she put the little baby rabbit down there, and the little baby rabbit hopped over to the rest of them and said, I want my mommy! And they all said, well, she's in the house. Go in the house. And so she went in the hole and found his mommy and had his long-awaited for breakfast. You see, when you are the master of your world, when you live in your ideal world, you don't let it frighten you. You don't let it manipulate you. You don't let it tell you what it wants to do. You tell it, hey, this is my world. My world is peace. No war. No war. No war. No war. No fighting. And if you're going to eat other animals, eat them outside. If that's your breakfast. Kill a chicken and eat a chicken. You know, I kill a cow and eat a cow. I can't tell you not to take whatever it is that you eat. But because Ellen is so brilliant, and she is so brilliant. Oh, she is so brilliant. Ellen is so brilliant. She's born in this century, but she's so brilliant. She knows that we are created and absolutely perfect. We're created without the need for eating anything, without the need for drinking, without the need for breathing, and we just do it because it's fun. So she goes back to her original purity and integrity. That's her ideal world. And she is there where no animal has to eat another animal to survive. No anything has to take the life of anything else to survive. Now, Ellen is so deeply into this thing that she realizes that if you take a plant and you chop it up, you're chopping up life. You're eating alive. Is there any less or more of God in a plant than there is in you?
Yeah.
What makes you so holy? Uh-huh. That same holiness is in the plant. Uh-huh. So all of God is in the plant, and all of God. That's why I say to you, in truth, you don't need substance for food.
Yeah.
Because the atoms in your body are sufficient to handle anything. Now, that's another subject we'll go in another day. But right now, what is our topic? Our topic is, I live in my ideal world now. So, let's just take the ice cream, that is, excuse me, frosting, the frosting on the cake. And now, what is the frosting on the cake? The cake is your house. The frosting is what you accept into your house. Now, do you accept mice in your house?
No.
No. Do you accept snakes in your house?
No.
Do you accept anything in your house that is not your pleasure?
No.
Do you accept spiders?
No.
You got them all over your house?
No.
No?
No.
Wow! Mm-hmm. How wonderful. How wonderful. Now, do you accept... Anita was on the internet, and Anita comes running in here. Herb, did you know? Did you know? Did you know? And I said, did I know what? Did you know there are 100,000 stray dogs in America? I said, well, that's not very many. For the millions of people in America, and so many of them having dogs, have only 100,000 stray dogs. Now, what is a stray dog? A stray dog is a dog that is recognized as being without a parent, without a family. Now, how many dogs do you don't know about that are running around in the wild and that are out foraging for them and happy as can be? Nobody telling them what to do. Interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But we hear the word 100,000 stray dogs, and oh my goodness, isn't that something, you know? No. How wonderful. They're free. Maybe they're starving. Maybe they're thirsty. Maybe they're so used to being taken care of by their owners. But that's not the point. What do you say, Anita, when you hear 100,000 stray dogs?
All in divine order.
Oh, thank you, Anita. I appreciate that. So Ellen is talking for Anita now. And Ellen says, all is in divine order. Now, is that true?
Yes.
Why didn't Anita say it? Because she couldn't possibly take away Ellen's right to say all is in divine order. Ellen lives in a world where all is in divine order, always, under all circumstances. Ellen lives in that world. Ingeborg, she lives in a world where all is in divine order. Ingeborg lives in a world where she is in divine order. Ingeborg thinks every moment of her life, I am divine order, I am divine order, I am my ideal self. I am my ideal self. Ellen wants to get a device to put a repeating statement in her mind, I like me, I like me, I like me, on tape so she can hear it on an earphone. And I say to Ellen, that's good. But better
I like me.
Is to say, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me, until you are so blue in the face from saying I like me, you say, continue. And then you get past that. It's just like learning how to play the violin. In the beginning, you sound terrible, and nobody must have to listen to you. But as time goes on, you improve. I like me, I like me. As time goes on, you improve liking yourself. And when time goes on with the violin, pretty soon, you're playing like Paderewski. You're fantastic. Yehudi Menuhin. Whoever it is, you're fantastic. But this is because you are living in your ideal world now. Your ideal world does not know a complaint. Your ideal world does not know something out of line. Your ideal world only knows that everything is good and very good and that you like yourself. Now, when you can live in a world like that, you've got everything going for you. Is that the world you want? I would say yes. 1,000 times yes. And why is it the world I want? Because I like me. I like me. I like, oh, excuse me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Have a good day.